tonight. Look with me again at verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And at this point, we need to know that this is not a chance encounter that he comes across the widow just at this time. The sovereign God brings Elijah to the gate just as that very widow is there gathering sticks. And we need to see God's hand orchestrating all things in his providence, in his plan. We need to not miss that detail here. But listen to verse 10 as it goes on. She's there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Elijah's requests here are bold. They're almost offensive. Asking for water during a drought is like asking for liquid gold. Asking for life. Asking this woman to make a great sacrifice for a total stranger that she's just met, a foreigner. But keep in mind, Elijah has just traveled 100 miles. He may have been in bad shape, really hungry and thirsty. Perhaps he was even near death himself and just desperate for a little bit of water and something to eat. Well, as he sees her going to bring him water, he asks for even more. He says, "What about a morsel of bread, a scrap of bread?" Listen to how the woman responds to his request in verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." This is such a striking reply. First of all, somehow she knows of Elijah's God. She says that the living God, the Lord your God who lives. She's invoking the name of the true God, Elijah's God, and she's doing so in order to tell him honestly how very little she has. And her answer to Elijah as he makes this request is not no, but rather, "I have nothing." And she has so little, she's about to die. Now, this is going to be her last meal. There will be no more left, and there's no plan, there's no hope after the little she has left. Friends, this is extreme poverty. This is life on the edge. This is severe, real suffering. She and her son are so poor and so needy and hungry. They are on death's doorstep. Kids, I want you to imagine having just enough food so that you could have barely one more meal. But you knew that that was your last meal. There was no food anywhere else. Your neighbors had no food. The market had no food. There was no food in the field. And after this last little bit, you had no idea if there would ever be any more. And so you just assumed this will be our last food and then we will die. And we're meant to pity this poor family, to be struck by their utter hopelessness and their need, the very real possibility of imminent death, a painful death of starvation. But we're also meant to realize where this is, to remember and to see how Baal is failing. He's failing his own people. The drought is there in Baal's capital, his homeland, and he's the god of rain. He's the god of abundance and harvest, and yet he's left the very weakest to die. Because he's powerless. He is not the God of life. He does not exist. He does not care for the poor and the widow. But friends, God does. The true God does. And he gives to those who have nothing. He loves the poor and the weak. He is able to give life and sustenance. He has pity on forgotten widows. He has pity on this poor, unclean, foreign, hopeless woman who's a Gentile, who's overlooked by the world, who's not even named in this passage. God delights to show his gentleness, his greatness, his love, his salvation to the humble, his mercy to those who were not his people, to show that he and not Baal, he and not riches, not strength, not man's wisdom, he is the hope of the world. He alone gives life. He alone provides. And this woman is really a picture of Israel spiritually. They are facing spiritual death because of their rejection of God. They're refusing the life-giving water of God's word. They are dead in their sins. They're without hope as long as they are without God. But friends, this is not just a picture of Israel spiritually. It is all mankind. Apart from the love of God, apart from the grace of God, apart from the life-giving word of God, apart from his merciful gift of life, we are dead. This is all of us. We are dead. We are hopeless. We can do nothing. We are just out gathering sticks. And we may have earthly riches, earthly power. We may not be so much like this widow day to day physically, but without God, without his word, without the work of Jesus for us, we are actually in a worse condition. We are in extreme spiritual poverty and face death and judgment in our sins. But thanks be to God, there is hope. And there is life in his mercy, in his plan, in his word. And that's what we see next for this widow. We see endless provision from God. Let's consider that third and finally tonight. Endless provision. Listen with me to verse 13. The widow has just said, I have nothing. What I do have will be our last meal. We're going to eat it and die. And then verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Elijah says, do not fear. Those are common words in Scripture. They often precede a gracious, comforting gospel word from God. And Elijah speaks to this poor widow with gentleness and compassion, even as he is going to ask so much of her, even as he's going to ask for great sacrifice and faith. He sees her plight. He sees the very real fear of death. And he says, don't be afraid. But then he makes a very bold and shocking request. He says, first, make me a cake. First, give me your last food. And then go make some for yourself and your son. Put my life before yours. Give me all that you have. Lay down your life, if you will, for me. Lay down even the life of your son. Lay your life on the line for me. This is a huge test. This is a hard word for this woman. But this call to complete faith, to action. This call to action is followed by a miraculous and gracious promise directly from God. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, who is also God in Sidon. If you will do this, if you will believe my word, your food will not run out until I send rain. And how I would love to be there to see this exchange. And maybe one day we can ask Elijah about it, but how much time passed before his request in verse 14 and her reply in verse 15? What went through her heart and her mind as Elijah said, "Give me what you have first"? Elijah is asking her to trust in his God, to give her all, trusting God to then give life, trusting that her act of faith would be rewarded, would bring blessing and provision. And now listen to the beginning of verse 15. "And she went and did as Elijah said." She went and did as Elijah said. By faith, this poor Gentile woman hears God's word from Elijah. Hears this call to obedient faith. She doesn't see how this is going to work. She hears this call to give up what she has, believing God will give her everything she needs, believing God will give her life. And she hears in this the promise of life, the promise of provision, and she believes, and she responds, she acts in faith. And here again, as we see this Gentile widow responding to God's word, his word in faith, it's a powerful testimony to his own people. It's a powerful rebuke to the people of God who had his word, but would not listen, would not lay hold of his promises by faith. And yet by God's grace and clearly by his Spirit's work in this woman, she responds to his word in faith. And God fulfills that promise and he delivers. Verse 15 and following again. "She went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." It's amazing. Day by day, after she had listened to God's word and provided for Elijah, God supplies what is needed. Again and again, he supplies what is needed for that day. He gives life because she trusted in him and in his word. He doesn't let the flour or the oil run out. He gives endless provision. And it's interesting, God didn't stock her pantry with 3 years of flour. It's a daily, continuous, multiplying miracle that calls them to live by faith each day, trusting in his supernatural care, seeing each new day how God would provide. And this, again, this shouldn't surprise us either. This is how God fed Elijah by the brook. This is how he provided for his people in the wilderness with manna each day. And this is even how Jesus teaches us to pray. "Father, give us this day our daily bread." And as they walked by faith day by day, the Lord provided. The Lord gave life. The Lord showed that he and he alone was the true and living God. He was their salvation. He was gracious. He kept his word. He had pity on the poor and weak. He brought salvation to this poor pagan household. He brought life where there was nearly death. And he continued to provide for his prophet Elijah. And in his grace to them, in this small little household, this overlooked household of this widow, God proclaimed to his wayward people, and he proclaimed to Sidon that he, the Lord, is God. That he is the one who gives life. That his word is life. That he saves, not Baal, not human strength. And what Israel needed was to hear and believe the word of God, to repent of their sins and return to him. They needed to look to him again for life, for forgiveness, blessing, reign, and eternal life. And friends, so do you and I. And this word that God gave to this widow through Elijah is much like the word he gives to sinners in the gospel even today. We who are dead and dying in our sins. We who cannot save ourselves. We who cannot feed ourselves. And God says to us in his word, he says to us in the gospel, do not fear. Give me your life. Give up what you cling to. Trust in me. And I will give you life. I will provide. I will give you unending eternal life. I'll give you something far more, far better than flour and oil and famine. I will give you life forever in my Son. I'll give you life forever, endless life in the new heavens and the new earth. I will give you who deserve death and who are going to die, I will give you unending life in Christ, unending grace. And as God did for this widow, he promised and he kept his word, just as he said through Elijah, God will do for all who hear and believe his word, all who believe his gospel, all who trust in the life that he offers in Christ. And friends, do you believe that tonight? Is that your hope? Is this your story? We need to be reminded, we need to know and to see tonight that Baal does not give life. Baal does not and cannot give bread and water. He cannot give eternal life. He cannot forgive sins. And who or what is the Baal that you are tempted to trust in, or maybe tonight you are trusting in? Who or what is the Baal that our world is telling you to listen to and to put your faith in? What false God, what false hope has lied to you, promising life and hope and joy and provision, but not providing, not giving what God alone can give? You need to be reminded tonight that only the true God speaks truth. He alone is alive. He is gracious. He gives life through Jesus. Friends, do not put your faith in anything but God and his word, his promise, his life that he gives through Jesus. Do not fear, but trust in this Lord. He gives life. He gives endless provision. And even to those who suffer and who lack in this life, like this widow, he is the one who will one day wipe away every tear. And in that day, there will be no more famine, no more sword, no more sickness, no more fatherless or widow, but only endless life, endless glory, endless joy and worship out of the abundance of his riches in Christ. But as you wait for that, as you wait for that coming day, wait on the Lord day by day with faith, looking to him, looking to his word, believing his word day by day. Well, what another amazing story of God's word, the power of his word, his power, his mercy, his prophet speaking the truth, bringing light in darkness, showing that the Lord is God. The Lord is his God. The Lord gives life, even where we would not expect. And the message to Israel at the time would have been clear. It would have been clear to Israel even years later during the exile. The message was this: repent. Turn from your false gods. Turn from your false hopes. Turn from your sin and your idols. And turn to the living God, the God who gives life. Trust in him. Look to him for life. Live by faith in his word. And that's the message to you tonight as well. That is the message to our world. God gives life to those who trust in Him. The living God gives life to those who are lost and hopeless, those who turn from their sins and put their faith in Him. And He gives far more than day-to-day life, as He did in Zarephath. He gives eternal life through His Son, through Jesus, the final greater prophet who went where God called him, who went into enemy territory, perfectly obeying His word. And Jesus gave everything to give us life. The widow didn't die in this story, even though she gave her last, but Jesus died. He gave everything. He gave His very life. He gave His last breath. He was completely spent so that He might give you life forever, so that He might never stop giving endless life and grace and abundance to all who believe in Him. Do you believe this? Are you looking to Him for life tonight? And maybe you do believe this. Perhaps you've believed this for a long time. You know the life that Christ gives. Well, rejoice in it. Continue to thirst for the Word of God, for the life-giving water of Christ. Look to God. Look to His Word. Look to His Son for life and strength and joy each day. And friends, the Lord's Supper helps us with this. We have the opportunity to partake of that tonight. It is a picture, a reminder, a regular sign and seal that God alone gives life. God alone gives life through Jesus, by His broken body and His shed blood. God spreads a table. God gives a feast for us in a dying, dry, and thirsty world, in the presence of our enemies. And so, people of God, know that the Lord is God. Know that He alone gives life. Hear and believe His word. God gives endless provision, endless life through Jesus to all who believe. And so trust in Him. Trust in His Son. Know His endless mercy and love and life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for Your mercy, Your abundance, Your gift of life to this widow and her son. Thank You that You brought Your word to them through Elijah, and that You showed them that You give life. Lord, let us cling to You and to Your word. Let us hear and believe Your word, because Your words are the words of eternal life. And Your word gives to us Your Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the water of life, the bread of life. Father, let us cling to Him in this dry and weary world, this dark world. We praise You and thank You that You give life to dead sinners. Lord, let us trust in this and rejoice in this and proclaim this to the world. And we do pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.